Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I might want to leave. I might want to tap out of this season. I'm done! 2 weeks! Uncle! Now look, alright, let me stop joking for a second. Let me get serious for a second. 2017 Eagles lost week two. Now granted, it was against a much better team in KC.
Yeah, Joe, think about it this way. No Eagles team has ever won the Super Bowl without starting 1-1. How about that?
How about that, Seltzer? And you know what? They were very close to starting 1-2 because they faced a horrendous Giants team week three and were about to go to overtime if not for the 61-yard field goal. So, look, and John pointed out the 0-3 Eagles obviously came from 0-2 and two horrendous losses both at home.
Not even close.
Yeah, no, not even close. But I will say, normally, when you start out 0-2 with two losses at home, normally you don't get to 12-4. And my fear with this team is that what we've seen in the first 2 weeks is just kind of what they are, like an average football team. But let's get more here with Seth Joyner. He joins us in studio typically every Monday after the game, in this case, a Tuesday after a Monday night game. Seth is brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, well, it matters. Of course it does. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit bradfordwhite.com. We choose Seth Joyner for the 9 o'clock hour. Seth, good morning, buddy.
I don't know how good it is, but no. Morning.
Morning, Seth. All right. Seth, the floor is yours. Like last night's game, it's now been less than 12 hours since it ended. What is top of mind for you?
You know, I hate covering this team after games like last night. I really do. I'd rather be still laying in my bed right now. I really do. Because, you know, you got to say some things because it's the truth under these circumstances. And, you know, some people are going to like it, some people aren't. But, you know, the truth is the truth.
Let's do it. What is the truth, Seth? What's the truth as you know it and you say it?
They have a major, major problem on the defensive side of the football. Now, you can be deficient in one area and proficient in the other. But you cannot be deficient in these two areas at the same time. You cannot be a football team that can't stop the run and a football team that can't rush the passer.
Mm-hmm.
And as much respect that I have for Vic Fangio, in my opinion, he got out coached last night. He had no remedy for the run game, at least last year, the previous 2 years. This defense, when they would get in a pickle and not be able to stop the run, the one thing that they would do is they would go to their five-man line. Now, he's got a hybrid of it, but even that doesn't work.
Why?
Because the Eagles, from a technical and fundamental standpoint, John, are flawed. The reason why they can't stop the run is because their defensive linemen – and linebackers can't get off blocks.
Well, you know what? They also don't have Fletcher Cox anymore. Well, and I'm telling you, people acted in the offseason like, oh, well. I'm like, really? I mean,
Joe,
he was a great football player, including last year.
Listen, Fletcher was great. Jason Kelce was great. But those guys know that neither one of those players are walking through that door again.
But they were supposed to, like, not to the same level, but with back-to-back number one picks, defensive tackle back-to-back, you were supposed to be able to hold the fort down there.
Well, they were picked to do that.
They were picked to do that.
They
That's
were picked
right.
to do that. And I still think that Jalen Carter has the potential to do that. Jordan Davis, in my opinion, was a wasted draft pick. And I said that on draft night, that you can't draft a guy that high who's shown. Now, you've heard Howie say, oh, he can rush the passer. It's one thing for you to say he can rush the passer. It's a whole nother damn thing altogether for him to actually be able to do it. So now for 3 years, 2 years and two games, he's proven that he cannot rush the passer.
Right.
So that was a bad move as far as drafting him where you drafted him. When you draft a player that high, you have to know for certain that that guy is going to be a difference maker long term in your in your organization.
They thought that he could rush the passer because he runs so fast. He should be able to rush the passer, right? Isn't that why they thought he could rush the passer? Because he can run a 4.78 in the 40?
Or they just said it and didn't really mean it.
Listen, you if you push a train downhill, it goes fast. Right?
Yeah. You could push a log downhill and it'll go fast.
Rhea, if you take the brakes off,
it's going to go fast.
And you let the train roll downhill, it'll go fast, right?
So, yes.
So this whole theory that players can translate a linear 40-yard dash into suddenness, explosiveness is a
pass rush move.
It's a non-factor. I say it all the time. You know, these guys show up in Indianapolis every single year. These players get done, you know, probably the end of January, John, with their senior year, or they've declared.
Mm-hmm.
They go to these specialists. This shows them exactly how to game the system.
I know.
You can jump higher. You can jump further.
These are the specific exercises.
All of
and
these
they train
things.
On like 15 things.
And these GMs and these player personnel guys go there and they fall in love with what they've deemed to be the process. When there's no physical measurement, no tangible measurement for how intelligent they are to play the game. And yeah, you got the Wonderlic test or whatever the hell they're using nowadays, but I've seen guys bomb that test and come into the league and be football savants.
Yeah, it's impossible to measure with that
and
test.
And no measurement for what sits on the inside of their left breast.
Right.
That's what determines how good of a football player or what a football player is going to be. And there's no tangible measurement for that.
Mm-hmm. Seth, I had said earlier, and I'm curious with your, and I thought it was really strong and well-formed statement saying basically if you can't stop the run and get to the quarterback, like, I don't know what you're going to do here. So I've been saying all day, I think the Eagles are average. That's what my eyes tell me. Do you think they're actually average?
As a team?
As a team.
Well, listen, I hate to put the onus offensively so much on A.J. Brown. But I think we saw last night why they extended him and gave him the money that they gave him. They saw what we could not see as far as how much he means to that offense. And I now understand why Jalen throws him so many targets per game. Because he had no confidence for anybody else on that offense last night but DeVonta Smith. I was shocked that he threw Britton Covey six targets. But, I mean, you know, he could have skipped to Malou for the amount of yards that he got.
all of those little short routes.
But
slip screens galore.
Defense,
six catches for like 30 yards.
Yeah. Defensively, though, they're averaging in a myriad of ways. They're technically flawed, fundamentally flawed, like I said. A lot of times that comes down to coaching. Because whoever the defensive line coach has got to tell these guys, teach these guys how to use your hands to get off of blocks, to not engage your body fully in order to not allow the offensive lineman to legally grab you the way that they can grab you and nullify you, whether you're pass rushing or whether you're trying to get off blocks, stay in your gap or get in your gap and make plays. Same exact thing with the linebackers. The linebackers are like Velcro. When they do decide to come downhill – and they engage offensive linemen, it's a wrap. It's done. They're not getting off blocks.
Well, what was the difference between week one and against the Falcons? Why did it feel like we were running around making plays? Zach Bond, 15 tackles, 2 sacks in week one, and then week two, we were Velcroed.
Well, the Green Bay Packers, it really didn't have an idea. You know, Zach Bond had a hell of a day. But I would venture to say anybody else did. He still gave up 163 yards last week.
Total. I'd say Quinyon played well week one, but not a ton of guys do. And I'll just add this to the mix when I referenced that I think they're average. And you guys know how dramatically I hope I'm wrong. Let me just add this.
I think you're wrong.
I will say, yes, they came
you
very.
You think he's wrong that they're average?
Yeah, the roster's not average.
Yes, they came very
the
close
team
to losing.
Should not be average.
They came very close to losing in Green
and
Bay.
You know what?
I mean,
good teams,
very close.
Good teams lose.
No, I get it.
Sometimes early in the season, just because they're not ready to win, they're just not good enough because they haven't practiced enough. They're not prepared.
All right, Seth, let's talk about the quarterback. So, I thought he improved a lot in the second half last night.
Wait a minute, I didn't finish answering your question about the averageness of the defense.
I asked you a yes no question 4 minutes ago. I didn't hear a yes or a no. Are they an average team, Seth Joyner?
I don't. You know, I can't answer things in a yes or no format. It doesn't work for me like that.
Seth used to tell Buddy Ryan, I'm a freelance player. Let me be me. Hey. No, that was Randall, actually.
At the other end of the spectrum, you know, I think that they're better on the back end, but the problem with you on every football team, you got to have a playmaker at every level. I think that Jalen Carter can be that playmaker, but teams are always going to scheme ways to double team him. And it's up to, you know, Vic to how to try to figure out in certain situations how to get him on the edge in the three technique where they can't double him, you know.
Is he getting close to the point where he's frustrated it's going to affect his outlook?
John, he's got to be frustrated because, you know, he's a guy that can stop the run and rush the passer. But the problem is, you know, when you got 600 pounds laying on you,
right,
you know, the majority of the game, that kind of nullifies everything.
The rest of that D-line is letting him down because they're not pulling any weight at all. Right. And teams are saying, we might as well put three guys on Jalen Carter.
I think at linebacker, we saw, you know, a flash with Zach Bond last week. But I think they're very average at the linebacker position. And they're certainly average.
N'Kobe Dean. They're average?
Yes. I mean, he might even be slightly below average.
Well, why did he win that starting role over Devin White?
John, those kinds of things happen for a myriad of reasons, you know? Sometimes players do exactly what the coach wants them to do, and the other guy, you know, as talented as he is, you know, to Joe's point, sometimes he freelances. Sometimes he does things, you know, that he wants to do rather than running the defense the way it needs to be played. Mm-hmm. And you can make some plays that way, but more times than not, when you don't technically do things the way you're supposed to, bad things happen. And Vic Fangio is not one of those guys that's going to let that fly. You're going to do it my way or you're just not going
to
play.
Seth, someone told me that Devin White is similar to Michael Kendricks in that you'll see really flashy plays. But if you're not really paying close attention, you would obviously, Seth, but a lot of people wouldn't to the, you know, the intricacies. You'll miss that he's just in the wrong position and he, you know, he messes up and it costs you yards and points.
Well, listen, I'll give you an example of a guy that was like that. For as great as he was, a Hall of Fame linebacker, you know, God rest his soul, Junior Seau was that way. He was a pure freelancer, but he played with so much, you know, aggression and so much effort that even when he chose to go do his own thing and messed up, he would still make up for it because he knew he messed up and he would hustle his behind
off. He'd still mess the offense up.
And then the most glaring position is obviously, you know, at the rush, the defensive ends. The defensive ends and the edge guys. I think Howie has made a massive mistake in his judgment on Nolan Smith at 32, and signing Bryce Huff. Neither one of those guys are NFL players, in my opinion. From watching what I've seen the last 2 weeks, Smith talks a good game, but he's yet to show up. Bryce Huff, there is a reason why. A reason why a guy with 11 sacks, a team would allow him to walk away. And he only played 40% of the plays last year. I heard Ray earlier, he can't play the run. Both of those guys are one-trick ponies. If they can beat you off the corner, then, you know, they'll beat you. But 9 times out of 10, they can't beat you. So when you consider all of that, and here's the linchpin, okay, of it all. every great defense or every good defense has to have playmakers on that defense. When I look at the Eagles' defense, I'm hard-pressed to find a single guy that's a playmaker. Tell me, how many caused fumbles do they have through 2 weeks? How many interceptions do they have through 2 weeks? And how many sacks do they have through 2 weeks? That's a telltale sign that guys aren't making plays. And when guys as a group aren't making plays, you got a problem. That tells you have no playmakers on the defensive side of your ball, and that's going to make you extremely, extremely average. And I've seen this picture before under a defense that kind of operates like this.
Jalen Carter's a playmaker.
All right, shut the camera. John Rich, we're going to get back to Jalen Carter and more in a moment. More with Seth in 1 minute's time. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center. With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, you know, I've been a patient at PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and replacement of teeth. They are sensational at what they do. PI Dental Center, the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. I strongly encourage you to get yourself to PI Dental Center. They're located in Fort Washington. You can visit them, of course, on the web to start off the whole process at PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. Well, you know, Seth, obviously John just referenced Jalen Carter, and, you know, my hope coming into the season, and frankly last season, is that Jalen Carter would follow in the line of Jerome Brown and Fletcher Cox, and we're talking over the last now close to 40 years of interior defensive linemen, and certainly Reggie could do it, but he was typically on the outside. Sometimes he'd slide inside, but an interior defensive lineman who could just wreck a game. Jerome did it. Fletcher did it. I know Jalen Carter can do it, but he hasn't done it yet this year. He hasn't come close to it. Are you concerned with his start in year two?
I'm concerned with his development, and this has been, you know, at a myriad of positions, it's been a concern for me, you know, throughout the Eagles organization over time. A lot of a player's development, Joe, comes down to having a great coach who understands the tools that's necessary for you to be and advance as a great player, and him having the ability and the time to put those tools in your toolbox through practice to be able to get it done. The Eagles, in my opinion, over the years have not developed players. Like if you look at cornerback, if you don't get players who actually have a built-in skill set, like Devontae Smith didn't need to be coached. When he got here, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, national championship winner, played under Nick Saban. Nick Saban has coaches that know how to coach wide receivers. So Devontae Smith came here knowing how to run routes, knowing how to, you know, understanding zone concepts and where to sit down in the zone and things like that.
Has he gotten less good at running routes?
No.
Has Jalen Carter gotten less developed at pass rushing since arriving as an Eagle?
Listen, what you do on a daily basis defines who you are. And I always say, what you see on the football field is either being coached or it's being allowed. Mm. And when I see players fundamentally flawed and I see players not progressing, then that tells me what they're being coached to do over time isn't taking hold for that player.
Right.
And he's not able to use those tools in the game when he needs to use them. You know, the Eagles have traditionally gone outside of the organization to bring in cornerbacks and safeties.
That's right.
And linebackers. When was the last time we drafted cornerbacks and safeties and linebackers as a young player and developed them?
Well, it's really,
to be honest with you, the only position that they've done that on the defensive side of the ball is defensive tackle. Every place else, we've always had to piecemeal it. So it's incumbent upon these coaching staffs to not hire their friends, but go and hire somebody that truly understands not only what you're doing defensively, Joe, because I could teach you the 46 defense. I could teach it to you well enough for you to stand up at the whiteboard and be able to present to a room of players how it works and what each position is supposed to do. But can you tell me how to get from point A to point B when you watch me in games and practice not being able to do it? If you can't teach me how to do that, if you can't answer that question, then as a player, you don't service me the way that I need to be serviced. And the Eagles have to begin to hire coaches that can service the young players and help bring them along. So when you draft them in the first round, they're now foundational pieces for your organization. Because when you draft a guy in the first, second, early, third round, that is what he is. You're looking for that player to be here and be productive and be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Be a leader for the next 10 years.
Here's the only thing, Seth, I'll say that I don't know if I disagree with you, but I just want to add on. Maybe this is a difference. I think Howie might have just picked players that aren't good enough. I mean, we can talk about coaching and scheme and all that stuff all we want. But, I mean, if you give Bryce Huff $51 million, it might have been 51 waste of $1 million.
Well,
I don't know that he's a $10 million player in 3 years, let alone a $51 million player.
Joe, they wanted to get younger, and they simply did not want to pay Hassan Reddick the market rate.
But it feels like a reach. Remember when they reached on Marcus Smith? Like, we need an edge rusher. Let's get Marcus Smith. Like, Howie might have just really messed up. Like the Rager thing. It might just be a total mess up.
He was gravitating to the wrong things. He's looking at measurables like the get-off, like these combine-type measurables, rather than looking at the game tape that said, holy cow, seven of his sacks were when he was just flat-out unblocked.
I mean, there were a lot of people that told us on our show in the offseason, he's just not that good. And now that we get to see him play, it looks to me like
Jody Mack said it repeatedly to you.
And he's a Jets
fan. I remember, and he's a Jets fan.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about there. All right.
Joe, I know you got to go to a break, but I think that move was a move where they made a decision that they weren't going to pay Hassan Reddick a penny more than $14 million. It just so happened that the Jets were in a position to move on because they weren't going to pay him $53 million. They realized that he wasn't worth that. And Howie does a lot of duping on these trades, whether it's for players or whether it's for draft capital or whatever it is. But the early return on this is that he got duped.
It does look that way. It does indeed. All right. 215.
Get the baseline out.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Let's get some calls in here.
Uh-huh.
We got Seth Joyner. Uh-huh. We got Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just interview Jay-Z. I bet you he'd answer the question sooner. Are they an average football team? We're 36 minutes into this hour. I still don't have an answer. But I want to get to Chavis before Seth reassesses the question again. All right, let's go to the phones. Chavis right now in Cooksville. Good morning, Chavis.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Captain, due to a sucking defense, your Eagle flight is grounded.
Hey, listen, Chavis, I'm in no mood for your Steeler nonsense, all right? I got it.
I didn't say nothing about the Steelers.
Yeah, but you said the we and the you or the whatever you said. I'm not in the mood.
Oh, come on. Don't be mad at me because your defense sucks.
I hear you, man. I do, Chavis.
Well, it sucks right now.
Come on, Joe.
And it's only a third of the defense that sucks.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
We gave you the ground last week, how to do the Falcons. You cannot let that man stand back there like a statue and throw downfield.
Chavis, here's what I'll say to you. We'll trade you Bryce Huff for T.J. Watt, and we'll even throw in Nolan Smith.
No, we don't want neither one of your players. No. You keep all of them.
Doesn't work that way. All right, Chavis, always
I'll trade you the whole defense for T.J. Watt. What do we think?
Chavis, always good hearing from you, man. Let's get to Kenny right now. Kenny, good morning.
We are a 3-win team. You know what? First off, Saquon Barkley, I'm not going to forgive you. You're still a giant. You dropped that pass because you played for losers your whole life.
Nah, Kenny, he's a great player and a good dude. He messed up.
And here's another thing. No, he's got to score 5 touchdowns a game to make up for dropping that pass. A little leaguer could do that. And, I'm wrong, too. Last year, I thought we had bad coaches. No, we have horrible players. Because they're such prima donnas who can't practice even tackling because of that collective bargain agreement, we're not going to get better. You know what? The Redskins are going to win this division with 6 wins because they all suck. I'm furious right now. What I saw last night was a disgrace. We deserve better than that. Those guys tackling, Seth will tell you, is effort. And I did not see that last night. And you know what? Our wide receivers, you're telling me not one other guy can get open? Not one other guy? Are we that bad that we can only throw to the skinniest guy in the field? I'm sorry. It just was a disgrace.
Well, I will say this, and I said it during the show yesterday, and thanks for the call, Kenny. I can't tell how much of that you were serious with and how much you were joking. I will say this, and I said it yesterday, when you pay 2 receivers that much money, when you get to receivers 3, 4, 5, and 6, they're going to be ham and eggers. I mean, they just are. They're going to be guys that don't make much money, and
that's not an excuse, Joe.
Well, they're not good.
That's not an excuse.
Well, I remember when Andy had Antonio Freeman 1 year. That's a good third receiver. The Eagles don't. I mean, it's you know, come on, you pay that much money to 2 guys. There's a price for that.
Listen, I get it and I understand it. And Nick Sirianni has said that the pass offense is going to run through those 2 guys. But everybody is aware of the superstar quality of Dallas Goedert. How in the world does Britton Covey get more targets than he does?
It's inexplicable.
And you can talk about Jalen. Jalen's got to throw the ball to him. But you can also devise your plays. Like, when really, really good coordinators want to get a guy involved, they can get a guy involved. The only way that you can nullify a player is by double teaming him. And nobody's doubling Dallas Goedert.
No, there's no reason to.
Newsflash. I believe that this is Dallas Goedert's last year. He ain't coming back here. The Eagles are going to lose a potentially Pro Bowl tight end this year because if I'm in his shoes, I'm not signing back for 2, 3, 4 more years of not being targeted, being overlooked. I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. They are going to lose what potentially is the next great tight end in Philadelphia Eagles football lore.
Could be.
And
if
he's
they
gonna
used
leave,
him right.
He's going to leave here, and he's going to go somewhere, and he's going to blow up and be an all-pro guy, the whole deal. Because if I'm him realizing that you want me to block all game.
I'd be frustrated, too. It's bad.
And you're only going to throw me 3 or 4 passes per game.
I know.
Like, there's no tight end seams in the red zone for Dallas Goedert. There's no crossing routes for Dallas Goedert. There's no clearing it out with everybody else and letting Dallas work on a linebacker in the middle of the field. They have none of that.
I thought for sure we would be seeing a lot more. You know how we have option routes from every single set now where you've got
you're talking about everybody coming out of the backfield.
Everyone else seems to isolate their top players. You know, let's say the Detroit Lions, they'll take, their best wide out, their best running back. They'll just isolate him on a linebacker. You've got a double go or a two-way go. You can break it right. You can break it left. You can sit it down. If it's zone, you can take it, you can take it on a wheel route. If you see fit, if you've got a linebacker running with you, these option routes are the next big thing.
They are.
Yet we don't use them. Dallas Goedert could be money.
They
with
are.
Option routes.
Here's another thing. How many times do you see when teams play zone against us? Saquon Barkley or the running back check releases, through the line, and he sits down right there in front of Jalen. For the first time last night, we saw Jalen throw one ball to Saquon. He makes the initial guy miss, gets a first down.
Yep, I remember that.
That's there all the time.
Yes,
the other thing,
is.
When you get the 3-by-1, John, and you get the X receiver with a split cut down with the back offset that side, and the wide receiver clears, Saquon goes to the out route every single time. And he's got the linebacker set up because the linebacker isn't attacking him inside out. He's moving horizontally to the line of scrimmage, and there's 8 yards of field that separate the two. Where's the F under? With a guy like Saquon Barkley, he's going to kill defenses with that against man-to-man coverage because the only guy that can see him is that safety, that deep safety that's 20 yards, 30 yards down the field.
Yeah.
Everybody else got their back turned. Now, if I can see that, Joe,
you
mean to tell me that these coaches who spend 12 to 15 hours a day at the complex watching film, you're going to tell me that those plays aren't in the playbook? They're there all day long because teams don't play man-to-man against us all the time, John. They play a lot of zone. And I see Saquon Barkley sitting down right there in front of Jalen Hurts. And when all goes to hell in the handbasket, instead of him just raising up and throwing that ball to him, he wants to scramble to the right side to try to make a play out of the pocket.
Seth, we got a lot to get to here in the final 10 minutes. So let's just try to move fast. I
want
to get through a lot.
You want me to focus?
All right. No, you're as focused as focus can be. Focus is not a problem here. All right. Just give me, if you can, on the shorter side, your assessment of Jalen Hurts last night.
He did some good things, and I have to question some of the decisions he made. Now, his decision making wasn't as bad as it's been. And in a lot of ways, he hoisted the team on his shoulders.
He sure did.
When they couldn't get anything going with the run game.
Yeah, that's right.
And made some massive, massive plays with his legs. Okay. I'm still a little bit miffed. And, you know, he's on his third offensive coordinator in the last 3 years, but I'm still kind of miffed at his progression of being able to go through the progression. Either guys aren't getting open, and the 1-2-3 in the progression, whether he's moving right to left or left to right, is not there. There's a flaw in how they're calling plays, because Kellen Moore, I thought, you know, didn't have as good a play call in night last night as he did week one. He had coverage breakers, coverage beaters, and all of these different things where it seemed like last night Jalen just dropped back and said, you guys go run a route and I'm going to pick somebody to throw it to, and if it ain't there, I'm going to take off and try to make something happen.
It's not good. Seltzer, new rule. When Kellen Moore designs a play, let's say you have four receivers, all four must go to the right side of the field because when Jalen rolls right, there is a 0% chance of him throwing the ball to a guy on the left side of the field. Zero. He narrows the field,
Joe,
so frequently.
There's also a 0% chance he runs to the left. How about that?
That like, too.
Run a play that way and do something different.
It's unbelievable. Well,
they cut the field in half.
To answer both of you guys' question or comment, he's not going to run to the left because he's not as proficient at throwing the ball going to his left as he is to the right.
He's not comfortable.
So he's always looking to escape to the right. And the problem is when you begin to scramble, now you've cut the field from a full field to a third to a quarter of a field.
I agree. It's not good, Seth.
You know the route. You probably know the name of the play. You could probably call it off right now. Where teams are anticipating a blitz coming from the left side, and you go sprint right, and you throw the out route.
Yeah, Q8, sprint right option.
Hate that freaking play.
Yeah, because it works.
It was effective.
It's not effective. I hate that play.
Well, the Niners were effective with it.
That's the Niners in the back of the end zone. Dwight Clark catching that ball at the end of the NFC Championship game in 1981.
I hate that play because it minimizes a full field read for your quarterback.
But when used as just a part of the offense, it can be effective if not anticipated in that moment. You know,
good coaches use it.
No, I times
and have success with it. But for the most part, players don't. Most teams don't execute that play the way in the spirit that is meant to be executed.
All right, I can only imagine what times yours is going to be like. In 1 minute, you're going to hear the calls after the game last night. 1 minute till times yours.
When you're ready to propose and buy that forever ring, trust is more important than ever, and that's why I want you to go and meet my friends at Benari Jewelers. Engagement ring shopping is harder and riskier than ever. Be careful. You could end up with an inferior quality ring that you paid way too much for. With lab-grown diamonds and the myriad of ring styles out there, it's easy to make a mistake. I'm telling you, trust Benari Jewelers. At Benari, they'll show you the inside secrets of the diamond business and how to avoid costly mistakes. Benari will show you how diamonds are priced and graded on the world market. They'll teach you why the four C's are just the beginning of what you need to look for in a diamond. All this with a price guarantee that ensures you get the value you deserve, free service for life, and a 110% diamond upgrade guarantee. Get the education, guidance, and confidence you need at Benari Jewelers. Two showrooms, Exton and Newtown Square, online at BenariJewelers.com.
The time is yours.
Can't wait!
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
This is typical Eagles. Why are we doing this? Run the damn ball. Where is Goddard? He wasn't even in all night. What's going on here? I am so angry, mortified, everything. This is typical Eagles. Typical Eagles. I have nothing left to say. Yeah, I'm hurt by hurt.
Look, I'll just say this. You said a lot right, but they ran the ball a lot last night.
We just grasped defeat from the hands of victory. This is the worst loss since the Super Bowl. I'm sick.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's a bad one. They had some whoppers last year, but this is a bad one.
There are times when the word elite is for your quarterback. When your quarterback has 183 yards in a primetime game, you are not elite. Jalen Hurts is not an elite quarterback. If you think he is, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I don't think he is either.
That's amazing to me that you can say that when you look at other elite quarterbacks that everyone confirms are elite quarterbacks, like Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, who put up numbers similarly poor from time to time.
From time to time.
Can somebody please tell me, where the hell is the pass rush? You got an immobile quarterback who cannot move, but yet we get one sack on freaking Kirk Cousins. Are you kidding me?
I'll tell you where the pass rush is. They left it at Lincoln Financial Field in the NFC Championship game against the 49ers two seasons ago.
It's holding out in New York right now.
Yeah, that's true. It is.
There you go, James.
And it's retired with Fletcher. Retired.
Yeah, I thought Taiwan Walker's and Tobias Harris contracts were the worst contracts in the city. Bryce Huff just said, hold my beer. His is way worse.
Jeez.
He may just flat out stink.
The fact the play call worked on 3rd and 3 and it was still incomplete and we lost the game is exactly why you don't make that play call. Too many things can go wrong when you pass the ball. Yeah? You run the ball, worst case scenario is you burn 30 seconds and maybe set up a 4th down push to ice the game. Coaching is just disgusting right now.
Well, there were mistakes last night, that's clear.
You know, do you realize the last time the Eagles defense made a big stop in the big spot was in the Super Bowl when Brandon Graham forced a fumble 2+ years ago?
Well, it was a lot more than 2+ years ago.
Yeah, you're conflating your Super Bowls.
Yes. He's not counting
the COVID years.
Yeah, no. Hassan Reddick made some plays in the playoffs in 2022.
He did.
Like, you know.
Unless Brandon Graham had a play 2 years ago in the Super Bowl that we've forgotten about. But anyway, with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the all-new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question,
Who do you blame most for last night's loss? The one that won this poll today is the coaching, 50%. Defensive line, 36. Saquon with the drop, 10. Howie Roseman with the picking of players, 4. I think Howie got let off the hook here today.
Apparently.
Big time. And again, John Dotson, we didn't bring his name up. We just traded for him.
I know.
That's on Howie, too.
All right, I want to do one more thing while we have Seth here. Quickly. Seth, I want to play some audio for you of Jalen Hurts after the game last night. You dealt with some weirdness with Randall. I just want to get your assessment, if he was your teammate, what you would think of Jalen saying this after the game.
Adversity was, you know, bound to hit at some point this season. How much time did you spend in the offseason kind of thinking about that and how to handle it now that it's here? You know, what's the key?
There's no secret to it. There's no secret ingredient to it. It's just a matter of, am I going to learn from it and am I going to get better from it? You know, there is. I said this before and I'll say it again. There's no difference between, you know, the joys and the pains, and the wins and the losses. It's just a matter of if you learn from it.
All right, Seth, 15 seconds. The star quarterback just said there's no difference between the joys and the pains, the wins and the losses. What would be your reaction as a teammate?
Well, I would say he lost his damn mind. There is a massive difference between all of it. It really is. I mean, you don't put in the work that you put in to relish in the pains of losing the game that you should have won.
And it's nonsense.
Yeah. I'd say there's got to be more to this sentence. Like, Jalen, continue.
What he's trying to say. He's trying to say, I learned from everything. Whether I won or lost, I learned from everything. But come on, man. I mean, really, there's no difference between the joys and the pains, the wins and the losses? Come on. All right.
We all feel the difference today.
Oh my, including him. How could he not? If he doesn't, that's a problem. All right. Let me say this. Final thing. The interviews we had from today, Seth, Ray, Brandon Graham, and Ron Jaworski earlier in the show, all those interviews either are currently or in the next few minutes will be available for you to listen to on WIP's website and the Odyssey app. So if you missed anything from today, listen at any time over the next many hours. Have a great rest of the day. Seth, thanks for being in here today, bud. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys.
Joe and Hugh, they're up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow on 94 WIP.